every American community, you have varying shades of political opinion. One of the shadiest of these is the liberals. An outspoken group on many subjects. 10 degrees to the left of center in good times. 10 degrees to the right of center if it affects them personally. So here then is a lesson in safe logic.
I cried when they shot Medgar Evers. Tears ran down my spine. And I cried when they shot Mr. Kennedy, as though I'd lost a father of mine. But Malcolm X got what was coming. He got what he asked for this time. So love me, love me, love me, I'm a liberal. Get it? I go to civil rights rallies, and I put down the old D.A.R. D.A.R., that's the Dykes of the American Revolution. I love Harry and Sidney and Sammy. I hope every colored boy becomes a star. But don't talk about revolution. That's going a little bit too far. So love me, love me, love me. I'm a liberal. I cheered when Humphrey was chosen. My faith in the system restored. And I'm glad that the commies were thrown out from the AFL-CIO board. And I love Puerto Ricans and Negroes as long as they don't move next door. So love me, love me, love me, I'm a liberal. Ah, the people of old Mississippi should all hang their heads in shame. Now I can't understand how their minds work. What's the matter, don't they watch Les Cray? But if you ask me to bus my children, I hope the cops take down your name. Oh, love me, love me, love me, I'm a liberal. Yes, I read New Republic and Nation. I've learned to take every view. You know, I've memorized Lerner and Golden. I feel like I'm almost a Jew. But when it comes to times like Korea, there's no one more red, white, and blue. So love me, love me, love me, I'm a liberal. I vote for the Democratic Party. They want the UN to be strong. I attend all the Pete Seeger concerts. He sure gets me singing those songs. And I'll send all the money you ask for, but don't ask me to come on along. So love me, love me, love me, I'm a liberal. Sure, once I was young and impulsive, I wore every conceivable pin. Even went to socialist meetings, learned all the old union hymns. Ah, but I've grown older and wiser, and that's why I'm turning you in. So love me, love me, love me, I'm a liberal.
You gotta love a liberal. That's Love Me, I'm Liberal by Phil Ochs that you were just listening to on KPPPLPFM. This is Cindy Gomez-Shemp.
And this is Duke Gomez-Shemp.
And this is Lizzie.
Cicados.
Cicados, yes.
That's right. And right now we are online, live on Live 365.
And we're soon to be on your radio on the dial at 88.1, adding local color to your airwaves.
Mm-hmm.
If you have a comment about our show, you can call our call-in line and leave a message. You can call 701 866-0917. Leave a message. I'll leave your name and where you live, and perhaps we'll play your comment on the air. Or you can tweet us at media_PPP or email us at Cindy@kppfm.com or Duke@kppfm.com.
I think you missed a P in there.
Okay, Cindy@kppfm.com or Duke@kppfm.com, and you're listening to KPPPLPFM.
Woo, give that man a prize.
Pin the blue ribbon upon his chest.
Yes, that was amazing. Tonight's show is about killing them with kindness. Like, you know, Minnesota nice or North Dakota nice.
Yes, yes. Kill them with kindness.
Kill them with kindness. This is something that people give as a piece of wisdom. You've heard this phrase, right?
Oh, yeah. I hear that people here are Minnesota nice.
Mm-hmm.
And technically, I think they're Minnesota ice, personally.
Well, you know, this idea of being kind to other people, being respectful, being respectful of everyone's opinions, giving equal weight to everything. It's, I think, something similar to the kind of lukewarm reception that people had for Black people during the Civil Rights Movement, that people had for Black people during the Emancipation Movement. Because people always knew that slavery was wrong.
Yes.
Lots of people, you'll hear people argue, they'll say, oh, well, you can't judge them for what was going on back then. It was accepted then.
Yeah.
No, it wasn't.
It wasn't accepted.
No. No, there was people that were saying, that stuff you're doing, that's horrible and it's against the law of God.
Yes.
There were some other people that were going, no, really, I think that if you look at the Bible the right way, it actually justifies what we're doing as a God-given right of white men. That's how they justified it back then. Just the same way that you have folks in the day, in today and now, justifying horrible atrocities in the name of God, in the name of government and God. So, there was never a time when something heinous and wrong and inhumane was acceptable.
That's right. It was never okay.
It was never okay. Some people did it anyhow.
Mm-hmm. And governments did it completely.
Right. But that didn't make it so that it was okay. And there were people that stood against it even then and said, hey, this is horrible and this is wrong. And there have to be people in today's time that do that same thing, that say, this is wrong. This violates your Christian nation-led laws that you claim to have.
That's right. The nation of laws.
Right. This violates all that stuff. This makes you, as a country, a promoter of injustice, especially when you mock justice by not upholding it, by providing it unfairly. Because the Bible says you're not supposed to have unfair weights and measures,
mm-hmm.
and your judges are not to be corrupted.
That's right.
In fact, it says if there's a witness that lies, they can never be used as a witness again.
Wow.
And you have to have a certain number of witnesses to even bring an accusation forward.
Mm-hmm.
Here in America, the policemen get to be judge, jury, and executioners when it comes to the lives of people of color.
More often just the executioners.
Yes, and never in that order.
And you know what? Here's the thing. The topic today, the reason I'm talking about this is because there are a lot of people who are posing. I'm just going to call them what they are. They're posers. They're fakes. They're pretending. They're trying to act as if, oh, they got the writing on the wall now. They understand. Yes, of course, Black Lives Matter. Okay, we get it. We get it, right? But the truth is, there's this resentful underside to that. Okay, I get it. I don't get to keep saying Black Lives don't matter or All Lives Matter. I get it that I have to stop saying that we should just round up all illegal immigrants and throw them in a well and let them die. These aren't PC things to do anymore for most Americans, although Trump would have you believing otherwise.
Oh, yeah.
There's the group of people that are just overtly hateful, but we're not talking about them.
No.
We're talking about the good white progressive liberal.
Yes.
And even some moderate Republicans out there who are trying to appear to be compassionate human beings. And why do I say appear to be? Because you can in one breath try to appear to care about people and then dismiss those very people and dismiss any policies that might help them. You can't do both things.
That's right.
Because that's called talking out of both sides of your mouth.
Exactly.
And that's not something that's going to be acceptable to us people of color anymore. Platitudes, empty gestures, pretending, play pretending that you got it, you figured it out, you're on our side. We see through that. We want action, not just verbiage. We already learned. We heard it all before. And we know what it means when you say, let us study this a little bit longer. Or let's sit down and talk about it first. We're done talking. We know what's happening. We're dying. You don't care. You pretend to care. But like the song that started off this podcast, most white liberals just care in their heads, right?
That's right. Yeah, they care in their heads.
They care because they said it to themselves in their heads, because they won't even say it out loud. And if they do say it out loud, if prompted, if asked, because they don't say it all on their own all the time, they'll say it. And then when somebody comes around and says, excuse me, I have to disagree with you there. They go, oh, okay. Oh, I see your point of view. Yeah, I guess all points of view are equal and we can all be right. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
That does not work.
No, the whole agree to disagree thing is a way to end a conversation, to end and to shut you up.
That is a lukewarm response that does nothing, absolutely nothing, to help the people that you claim to be helping. Mm-hmm. The people that you say you understand their plight. You want, you. I love it when, and especially conservatives, they go, well, of course, we would love nothing better than to just have a magic wand and be able to help all of these people. What's your solution to the problem?
That's right. Usually,
how do we solve this problem?
Just fix it. Fix it now, or don't talk about it at all.
Right. Yeah. We can't point out the horrible, evil things you're doing to cause the problem, which, by the way, if you stop doing, might end the problem.
Exactly.
That's why we're talking about the horrible stuff you're doing to cause the problem. But you want to play obtuse. You want to play dumb. Like you don't understand English anymore. What?
Mm-hmm.
What do you mean? What am I supposed to do about this? How can we fix it?
Just fix it. Just fix it now. I don't want to hear about it anymore. Let's just fix it. Tell me how we can fix it. I've heard that so many times.
Right. But at the same time, those same people that are saying, why can't we fix it? What do we do to fix it? How would you fix it? When we're telling them the things that are causing it, they don't want to look at those things.
That's right.
See, because the reality is they don't want those things to end because they support your privilege. They support your comfort. And they support the right of all of your friends and family members and coworkers and neighborhood members to stay comfortable while they ignore our dying.
Yes.
While they ignore our suffering, while they ignore our poverty and continue to pat themselves on the back and go, oh, I'm a good person.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not how we view that. We don't view it that way. We know we're getting played. We've known we've been getting played for a long time. If you ever read the letter from the Birmingham jail that Martin Luther King wrote, he talks about the white moderate. People going all the way back to W.E.B. Du Bois were talking about the white moderates. People that are subject to the constant, vigilant desire of good meaning white people to help us, like people of color are all subjected to this. Mm-hmm.
Which we ask you to do also.
Mm-hmm. We have to participate in it. White people want to help us. We're like, oh my goodness, the white people want to help us. They don't want to hear how we want to empower ourselves, because that would actually create real physical change that would take white supremacy and white centeredness out of the picture and put black centered and brown centered issues in the middle.
Exactly.
Just and that's what white people don't want.
Mm-hmm.
That's what makes them uncomfortable. They're not going to do that. And they're not going to make anyone around them uncomfortable either. So, you know, here's some of the issues that have come up recently in our community where I saw some of these types of discussion taking place. And I thought, oh, my Lord, how are we going to fix? How are white people, how are white progressives who, you know, if you hear Bernie Sanders supporters when they talk about the Black Lives Matter movement, you'd think that Bernie was Jesus, you mm-hmm, know, the second mm-hmm. coming of.
Oh, yeah. He's going to clean up and change everything for everyone.
How come they're attacking the best chance they have?
That's right.
Even Bernie said, I would fight harder than any other candidate. I believe Bernie. I don't doubt it for a minute.
Mm-hmm.
I don't doubt that. But that is a pitiful response to what is a cry for people's lives. Just because you're going to be the best one at being a politician doesn't mean you're going to have a clearly focused, laser-like attention on stopping the deaths of people of color in this country.
Exactly.
And if that's true that you do have one, why instead of getting ticked off that we're demanding to hear what it is, are you telling us that we need to shut up and be more polite?
Pretty much.
Because that's what white folks do when they don't like the message.
Exactly. And white people need to get comfortable with being uncomfortable. I mean, I think there was a famous Dorothy Day quote that said something about making the privileged people feel uncomfortable because of the poor people are afflicted. And really switching that around, and white people really need to take one of those first rules of being an ally, and that is listening. Don't be defensive. Don't try to fix it. Don't shut your ears off.
I don't think that white people can help being defensive. I think it's going to push their buttons, but you need to get comfortable with being uncomfortable, white people.
Mm-hmm.
That's how you build racial stamina. You're not going to be able to talk about any of this stuff or be around other people of color, which most white people are not. You might all tell yourselves that you talk to that one person, maybe in person at work, maybe on Facebook, that's your Mexican friend or your black friend, but that does not make you a person that is around and living with and sharing the life experiences of people of color as a white person.
Mm-hmm.
No, because in fact, studies show 75% of y'all don't have no contact with people of color on a regular basis like is required for this definition to be true.
Exactly. We've been participating with the segregation. It's the reason that that statistic is valid is because we have, as white people, have separated ourselves from people of color in our living arrangements, in our economic conditions. All the things that lead to the separation are things we're doing and continually to do. And yeah, we'll get defensive because we're going to point out the way we're living. And we have to actually listen and feel that uncomfortability.
And that uncomfortability is going to come from having to think about the fact that yes, you too benefit from this privilege, whether or not you earned it, whether or not you knew about it, you still are getting the benefits of it. And yes, those benefits make your life better, even if you were a poor and have been a poor white person that doesn't feel like you got any privileges or any chances in life, your life is still better than the majority of black people
mm-hmm.
in the same set of conditions.
Yes.
And that's what white folks need to understand. This isn't about a contest. This is about paying attention to an epidemic of racism that is murdering at least 2 and 2 point some people a day at the hands of police. Most of those are black.
Yes.
Latino.
Every day.
Native American. Mm-hmm. Every single day. And that's only the ones that we know of. That's only the ones
that are reported.
That are being reported.
Mm-hmm.
We have a lot of issues with the police, but one of those police, by the way, this is an interesting Fargo story. One of those police officers applied for a job in Fargo. The Ferguson police officers that sided with Darren Wilson, the guy that killed Michael Brown, the unarmed teenager that started off this whole Black Lives Matter movement a year ago. We are celebrating the year anniversary of that death. And this Fargo police department is looking for a new police chief. Mm-hmm. And this guy applied for the job.
Oh, my God. No.
He applied for the chief of police job in Fargo. You know, and there's no public accountability to how they hire a new chief of police in Fargo. It's all done internally. And so we could end up with this guy based on the officers and the personnel at the Fargo Police Department.
Mm-hmm. But there was a discussion online and people were like, can you believe this? It's good. This is why it's good to know who is applying and what their background is because of this. And there was a lot of people that were saying, what's wrong with that? What's wrong with him siding with Darren Wilson? There's nothing wrong with that. And then the white progressives that were talking about this were like thrown into a tizzy because, of course, they don't want to disagree with any racist, completely unfounded statements about black people, about the right that police have to murder black people without arresting them or taking them into custody. Just the discussions that were being had sounded to me like, oh, well, yes, your completely misguided and unfounded statements are you know, just only your opinion of what occurred. But I'm going to have to give them the same weight with the people that are dying.
As a white person, it is a liberal, as a progressive, one thing I've had to learn is that I need to really acknowledge that there's going to be a lot of white racist people that are supposedly my friends, my family, people around me who are going to say things like this, are going to have those views. And I need to realize there's going to be conflict and I need to stick to what I believe
in. They want to have their views validated by you or by me. Finish that sentence, man. Finish that sentence. Because you said they want to have their views. No, they don't want to have their views. They've always had their views. Whites have been able to talk about their views and have their views. And we talked about this the last time we did a show. The KKK was started by Black Panthers, started because they wanted to protect themselves from the lynchings and the random torture and abuse and terrorization of the KKK. And the government disbanded, destroyed the Black Panthers and destroyed AIM, and they destroyed all of these civil rights groups that were trying to defend themselves from police violence, from vigilante violence, from death. State-sanctioned death, state-supported death.
Yes, exactly.
And the government destroyed those organizations that were trying to protect themselves. And the KKK is still loud and proud.
That's right.
And growing, and has been growing for decades in this country. But we still want to have, among white liberals, y'all still want to have these very Minnesota nice conversations with each other about what's happening to dead people that you don't have to care about.
Exactly.
That you don't have to live next to. That whose lives you don't have to experience or suffer every day.
They want to be neutral. They want to be Poland or something.
They want to be, they want to ignore, but pretend they care. They want to be able to say, I care, but I want to pretend that I don't care.
Yeah.
And see, that's what's difficult for me to put up with. It's not something that most people of color would have brought up in the past. They would have just, they swallowed it.
Exactly.
But right now, we can't afford to wait anymore. We need to know who our allies really are and who they aren't.
Exactly.
And we're going to have to test y'all and check to see, just like Black Lives Matter leaders are testing Bernie and have been testing other candidates like Hillary. I'm going to get to that in a minute.
Oh, yeah.
That is what we're going to do. People of color are going to start testing to see which of you white progressive liberals are just talking smack and which of you are going to actually walk the walk.
And they have every right to.
Yes. And we do.
And we should expect it every day. It's not just the one-day check-in, and we were doing good on Sunday. We still have Monday and Tuesday to deal with, too.
Like somebody said on social media, you know what? All those people that are saying, hey, remember that Bernie Sanders marched with Martin Luther King? Well, you know what? Before all of you were born, they said. And they said, yeah, well, you know what? We grew up marching with Miss Jackson, and she asked us to find out, what have you done for me lately?
Exactly.
Sorry, Miss Jackson, but I am for real.
Uh-huh.
Today's podcast is Kill 'Em with Kindness. We're talking about the white liberal, you know, their stumbling stone, their difficulty. Even moderate Republicans are having a hard time saying how incompassionate they are with the immigration issue and how incompassionate they are with the deaths of black people. Those who don't want to sound like outright racists that support the works of supremacists like Dylann Roof, who killed 9 people in South Carolina, they want to sound more like they're just responsible, you know, lovers of the law. We just want to uphold American values and the law.
Yes, and I'm going to wait till I get all the information. And, you know, you're watching Fox News. You know, you're never going to get all the information. We have to listen to people of color in the community, in this country, that are talking about what needs to be done. We need to listen and listen and listen.
And we know what the reality of our lives are. And when you ignorantly start talking to us about our lives, and it's very clear you have no clue what the heck you are talking about, of course, it's going to be real difficult for me to give your opinion about my life equal weight.
Exactly.
Because it doesn't matter what you think about a person of color's life. You don't experience it. You will never understand it. So if you care about us, and if you want to pretend to care about us, you have to listen to us and you have to do what we ask you so that we can see you actually mean what you say. Not just paying lip service, but actions, you know, actions behind the words.
And you need to learn to be uncomfortable and live with that uncomfortability.
Exactly. But you know what? I want to hear what you guys have to say. I'm going to share some comments about today's podcast from our listeners later on in the show. How can people comment and question?
Well, if you want to give us a comment, an actual, you know, spoken comment, you can call our comment line at 701-566-0917. You can also tweet us at @media_PPP. You can email Cindy at kpppfm.com or email Duke at kpppfm.com. You can also go to our podcast link on kpppfm.com. And under the podcast, you can actually comment on the content of the podcast. So there's many ways for you to actually communicate with us. So please do.
Yes. And you can also find more information on Facebook. You can find us at the People's Press Project. And you can comment there as well. So we're talking about kindness, killing them with kindness. This idea of Minnesota nice, North Dakota nice, that white progressives, they can't get all up in people's face and be impolite like those very impolite and rude black ladies that stopped that Seattle rally for Bernie Sanders. There's many white progressives, which is the base of Bernie Sanders' followers, who said they couldn't support the Black Lives Matter movement anymore because those women were just so rude.
Oh, boy.
They sounded exactly like the white moderates that MLK was describing.
Mm-hmm. It does, exactly. And I've heard many progressives talk about how I don't like confrontation. I'm like, well, so you live your life without confrontation?
Right.
It's like most of the people of color I know and the family I live with, there's confrontation every day because of the white supremacy.
Of course. But white people don't ever have to go through that. So they think they can have their cake and eat it too.
Mm-hmm.
I want to be a good person that doesn't support white supremacy and the oppression of people of color, but also I don't want to have to do anything uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. Can I just get a sticker?
Yes.
Or can I just get one of those little, those like plastic bands that say, what would Jesus do? Can
there
I just
go.
Do that?
Mm-hmm. No.
Maybe if I, I don't know. What if I run in a marathon? What if I raise money for a mission trip?
There we go.
To go and help the people. Is that all I have to do?
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, guys. It's not that simple. You have to do more than pay lip service to a cause that is killing people every single day.
Yes.
And I'm not just talking about Black Lives Matter movements. I'm talking about all of the issues that affect people of color, mass incarceration, sterilization of women of color in prisons. That's been going on long before that. violence against women, the rape of women of color in this country, the imprisonment and detainment of people that are just crossing the border to eat.
And children crossing the border and being put in camps and being starved and being...
raped.
Raped and having their documents held.
Being
and
robbed. Mm-hmm. All of that stuff. All of the evils of this nation, past and present, need to be accounted for. And that's something that white folks who are progressives, who care about these issues, should be working on every day.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all know what the... you guys know what this stuff is.
Exactly.
Pick up a history book.
Mm-hmm.
You know, use the Google.
Yes. Talk to other white people.
Travel the interwebs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, go to your public library. There's books in there, y'all.
Exactly. A lot of them.
You can find this information if you want to. But don't pretend that you don't know what the evils, the major evils in this world are, what they are in this country, what they are in your neighborhood. You know what they are.
Mm-hmm.
You know who the people that are most weak, most vulnerable, that are the poorest, that are the most likely to be entrapped, hurt, treated with discrimination, marginalized are. You know who they are.
We do. We do.
And if you don't do anything to help those people, if you sit around and stop policies that can help alleviate crimes against them, hate crime legislation, if you stop things that can help the homeless, that can help them get housing, that can help the poor, then you actively are helping those people suffer. You are part of the problem.
Exactly.
You can't call yourself a good white Christian or a good white liberal, because all that stuff is pure hatred and evil.
That you're supporting. Mm-hmm.
When you don't know about it, I understand. It's like, how could I know? You know, this country was built on a legacy of raping, stealing land, murdering people of color, and enslaving people and using them. And nothing much has changed for people of color in this country. So you guys can't pretend you don't know how your country was founded.
Exactly. And if you think different, go back and read some more. You have not read history. You have forgotten history.
And a lot of it is whitewashed. I know. But willful ignorance is not an excuse. You can't get away with that if you get pulled over by the police, can you?
No, we're a nation of laws, and your ignorance of a law does not excuse you. So why should it excuse you when it comes to racism and the things that are happening in this country that are killing people of color?
Yep, nobody's going to get a pass anymore. And here's I want you to listen to this clip. I want to set this up first. Hillary Clinton was confronted by Black Lives Matter movement leaders. You know, there was a lot of people that were saying that, there was this conspiracy that it was Hillary that was sending those Black Lives Matter protesters to go and disrupt Bernie Sanders rallies. And, you know, they came up with these crazy things. I want you to hear the contempt in her voice when she's talking to these folks, because I can hear it. I can hear how upset she is, how annoyed she is. You know, this black man, this black leader in the Black Lives Matter movement, he's trying to tell her she's being condescending to him. Mm-hmm. This is what he's trying to say. You're being condescending. What you just said to me is basically the same as if you had told black people that if they want white people to care about them dying, they're going to have to do this and that and stand on their head. Because it's their own faults that they're dying if they don't know how to deliver a message, right?
Right.
The problem of black people dying has never been that black people don't know how to deliver a message.
Mm-hmm.
It is that white people keep killing them.
Exactly.
That's the problem.
Mm-hmm.
I want you to listen to this clip. And listen to how calm this guy tries to deliver this message. And yet, I can bet you 100% there's a bunch of white people out there that listened to this, that saw this, and that were outraged that she, a white woman, who is probably the best chance they'll have, is being shamed by the Black Lives Matter leaders, who have every right to say, you want to be the president of this country? You want our vote? Prove it. Right?
Right.
Go ahead.
I think we really have to go.
Thank you.
The piece that's most important
And I stand here in your space, and I say this as respectfully as I can, but if you don't tell black people what we need to do, then we won't tell you all what you need to do.
Well, I'm not telling you. Right? I'm just telling you to tell me.
What I mean to say is that this is and has always been a white problem of violence. It's not, there's not much that we can do to stop the violence against us.
Well, if that is
a conversation that I push back.
Okay, I understand. I understand what you're saying.
Also respectfully.
Yeah.
Respectfully,
if that is your position, then I will talk only to white people about how we are going to deal with the very real
problems. That's not what I mean. That's not what I mean.
No.
But like what I'm saying is what you just said was a form of victim blaming. Right? You were saying that what the Black Lives Matter movement needs to do to change white hearts is
no,
to
I'm not talking about
policy.
Look, I don't believe you change hearts. I believe you change laws, you change allocation of resources, you change the way systems operate. You're not going to change every heart. You're not. But at the end of the day, we can do a whole lot to change some hearts and change some systems and create more opportunities for people who deserve to have them to live up to their own God-given potential, to live safely without fear of violence in their own communities, to have a decent school, to have a decent house, to have a decent future. So we can do it one of many ways. You know, you can keep the movement going, which you have started, and through it, you may actually change some hearts. But if that's all that happens, we'll be back here in 10 years having the same conversation. Because we will not have all of the changes that you deserve to see happen in your lifetime because of your willingness to get out there and talk about this.
Thank you.
Thanks. We got to go this way.
We should find a way to do this. Appreciate it.
Well, I'm ready. I'm ready to do my part in any way that I can.
And I'm sure. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Ooh. Oh, boy. Man, that, I mean, it was almost like a veiled threat. Hey, listen, you can go on with your movement whatever, but, you know, if that's all you achieve, it's like, can, you know, and I guess, you know, if you think about it, because we went to see that movie Selma and we've heard Lyndon B. Johnson behind closed doors.
Oh, yeah.
He let the N-word roll off his mouth, off his tongue quite easily. It was white liberals like that that kept telling the leaders of these movements, hey, you don't know what you need for your own liberation. Let me tell you all how it should be done.
Exactly.
You're not doing it the right way.
Mm-hmm.
See, the way I can see it, the way I see it is you're not being strategic here. You got to get down on your knees and beg better for a crumb.
And it ain't going to work. You're not going to change the hearts of white people. I mean, it's like,
that is a crazy thing to say.
It's like,
well, she wants to change a system that's corrupt and built upon the slavery of people of color and the bad treatment of people of color. She wants to change a system that's already meant to not be changed for anything.
You believe that she wants
to, white people.
But do you think she wants to change it?
I don't think she does either.
I don't believe she does. I'll tell you why I don't believe Hillary wants to change it. Because when somebody tells you, when someone confronts you with this, your response after they tell you, listen, you're telling me that the only way that you'll list that you meaning you white lady standing in front of me running for president and all the white people that stand behind you, you white progressive leader, you're telling me the only way that white people, you included, will care about black people dying is if we deliver the message in the right way. And I'm telling you, that's a form of violence. What you're speaking is a form of violence.
Mm-hmm.
Because the problem has never been that we can't deliver a message, is that you kill us.
Exactly.
That's where the problem is rooted in. That's where it was born of. That's where it came from. And you're going to tell us that the only way to convince you to stop killing us or some of us is to deliver a message in a better way? That is... not just, it's a slap in the face.
It is.
But it's a real condescending way to do it. Like, hey, you need to lick the heels of my feet a little bit better if you want something from me. And what her response is even more amazing. Her response isn't, oh, wow, I'm sorry. You're right. That totally was the wrong way to express what I was trying to say, and I'm not going to try to make any excuse for what I said. why don't I hear what you have to tell me about what white people need to do, what I would need to do for you to feel like we care about black lives? What policy changes? What things do you need from me? No, her response is like, well, if that's your opinion, if your opinion is that as a white person, what I'm doing right now is I'm trying to ignore or, you know, minimize your issue by blaming black people for their own suffering while saying that, you know, white people need to hear a certain kind of a message from the Black Lives Matter movement in order for us to care about you. Her response is, oh, well, if you don't like that statement, I won't talk to black people anymore at all. That's how right. about that?
Mm-hmm.
I'll only talk to white people. Would you like that better? It was like she was being purposely obtuse.
Yes. Yes. And also just throwing it right back at me. He was very, very gentle.
Had oh, you think I'm down. Racist? Well, how about this? How about I never treat another a black person with any kindness in my life again? Somebody that would say something like that to mm-hmm. you is probably someone that doesn't really hang out with a lot of people.
And he was acting so incredibly humble, like saying respectfully. It's like, she doesn't deserve that respectfully. Take them all back.
But, you know, here's the thing. I don't think that she deserved to be treated disrespectfully. I think that the fact that she acted maybe ignorantly with such disrespect, I think Bernie did too in his first encounter mm-hmm. at Netroots Nation. What their actions are afterwards will be much more telling.
Yes.
Because everybody can have a negative reaction. As we were talking about this issue of, you know, white progressive lukewarm support, which is equal to no support. That's why I'm calling out the posers on today's show mm-hmm. called Killing Them with Kindness.
Oh, yeah.
And we're talking about this issue because I see this all over the place. And it just makes me angry at the so-called white progressives, Hillary included.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I'm calling her out. Excellent. I don't think she has these people's backs. Did you hear the way she was talking to them? Her tone was like...
Oh, no. And also, we're going to post a video on the podcast so you can see the body language. You know, she was like mm-hmm. covering
extremely
her mouth.
Extremely dismissive.
Putting mm-hmm. her hands up and she was like, oh, I'm done with this. I'm
her
done
hands
listening.
Were flailing around in the air. Mm-hmm. And yeah. Listen, we can tell... We are not stupid. Also, I don't know if you guys heard this, but there was a man arrested for bringing a bomb to a Kansas abortion clinic.
What?
Right. These are pro-life people. This is the kind of crazy dichotomy that I just can't wrap my head around. This is the killing with kindness.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, literally, right?
Mm-hmm.
Here's a guy that is pro-life who wants to go... send his message, his culture, show his love, you know, for the propagation of the culture of life with a bomb.
Yeah, wow. That's very forceful and violent.
That sounds like almost every Republican candidate for president, though. Right?
Yes, it does. It does very much.
It sounds like the candidates in the conservative camp. We want to preserve life. Let's nuke Iran.
Exactly.
Let's...
Yeah, I'm a life and law candidate, you know.
I know. It's crazy.
It is.
This is what I wrote about this, and I called it Killing with Kindness. We're going to talk about this more, but first I want to take a musical break. You've been listening to Killing with Kindness on KPPP LPFM. This is Cindy Gomez-Shemp. And after this musical break with Frank Zappa, Plastic People.
Oh yeah, Frank.
We will go back to this topic and talk more about the fake, phony, white, liberal, progressive.
Oh yeah.
Right after this break.
Ladies and gentlemen, the President of the United States,
fellow Americans.
He's been sick. They think his wife is gonna bring him some chicken soup. I know it's hard to defend an unpopular policy every once in a while. Plastic people, there's this guy from the CIA and he's creeping around Laurel Canyon.
Find the girl, she waits for me. She's as plastic as she can be. She paints her face with plastic glue and wrecks her hair with some shampoo. Plastic people. Sometimes I just get tired of you, honey. It's that's your hairspray or something. Plastic people, oh baby, you're such a drag. I hear the sound of marching feet down Sunset Boulevard to Crescent Heights, and there at Pandora's Box, we are confronted with a vast quantity of plastic people.
Take a day and walk around. Watch the Nazis run your town. Then go home and check yourself. You think we're singing about someone else,
but you're plastic people. Oh, baby, now you're such a drag.
Whoa.
Plastic People. That was Frank Zappa. And you're listening to KPPPLPFM.
We are broadcasting online through live365.com. And soon we're going to be on your radio at 88.1, adding local color to your airwaves.
On the FM dial.
On the FM dial, yes. And you can get a hold of us and actually leave us a message at 701-566-0917. You can tweet us at media_PPP. Or email us, Cindy, kpppfm.com, or Duke, kpppfm.com.
Yes, and today, there's me, Cindy, Duke, you.
Yes.
And also Lizzie.
Hey!
And we're talking about killing them with kindness, the white progressive liberal. And we're talking about this because this is a time of complete change in our culture, in our society. We're seeing the amount of information about the deaths of blacks in this country, the deaths of people of color at the hands of police, is astounding. And we're not just seeing that. We're seeing this huge wage gap between the rich and the ultra poor. We're seeing so many different things that have gotten out of control, completely out of control.
And they've been out of control for a long time. And thanks to social media and activists who are out there on the ground reporting what's going on, is bringing it to the whole nation's attention. So it's time to listen up.
Exactly. And so my message is to those who claim to be white liberals who want to help us with their cause, that want to support the Black Lives Matter movement, that want to support the demilitarization of police, that want to support the stopping of the police state, the mass incarceration of people of color, the decriminalization of drugs, all of these different things, the immigration policies, like the horrible one that Trump just came out with, mm-hmm. that all of these things need to change. And that has to come at the risk and the discomfort of white people. And white people, you are killing me with your kindness. I know it's an unpopular phrase amongst the good white progressives to say, it's a popular phrase to say killing them with kindness. And I realize it may be intended with the result within that metaphor, but you all lack the real understanding of what's involved passion for any progressive issue which affects people of color. And that's literally killing us.
Yes.
The way in which you say that you support our causes, but respectfully listen to and support the views of those who oppose our causes is tantamount to lukewarm support. At the end of the day, when I see that type of rhetoric on your pages or hear them in your conversations, I know you don't have our backs.
Yeah, and it's going to, and we're acting that way, and it's going to take a lot for us to earn your trust. That's for sure.
And you claim to care about the issues of people of color, but only to the degree that it takes a back seat to the feelings and opinions, however misinformed, racist, or outright wrong they may be, of white people. I had heard of Minnesota and North Dakota nice, but I didn't realize that carried to its logical conclusion, it would cause white progressives trying to prove that they are good people to literally ignore the issues that are killing people of color just so that they can claim to be nice.
Wow.
And it isn't that you can't be angry or rude or righteously indignant when it comes to the injustices or the cruelty that are facing the people of color in this country. It is that you want to give the appearance that you're just too kind, you're way too polite to confront lies and injustices against us. You're a lover, not a fighter, right? That's the argument I hear.
Yeah, and we want to avoid responsibility. You know, it's very famous in my family for us to look backwards and say, that wasn't us, that was somebody else. No, it is part of our legacy. It's part of what we've been perpetuating, and we continue to do so as long as we try just to be the nice people.
Right, but see, I don't buy it. I don't believe that your problem as an ally is that you're just too nice. If you are too nice to confront lies and evil, then you aren't really helping. You aren't really an ally. And you're just trying to fool me. And I'm not stupid.
Mm-hmm.
Merely saying that you support Black Lives Matter or the demilitarization of police or giving relief to undocumented immigrants or whatever, or writing an occasional post on Facebook somewhere or saying that you support something, that doesn't make you a supporter. Many white progressives believe that just saying something that they never said out loud before or posting it means that now they're an ally. And they believe that if they stay polite and they tell detractors, opposers of what they post or talk about, oh, I respect your opinion too, that they're just being nice. That's all they're doing. They're just being nice. They're being fair.
Oh, they're being fake. They're being hypocrites.
Yeah. It's not just being nice. That's not true. You aren't just being nice when you side with the oppressor. You're scared of the oppressor, and you're complicit in allowing them to go unchallenged by those who are in power in this society. And that's white people. That's you.
Yes, and white people need to realize that. You know, and one of the two hardest things to talk about with white people are, one, white, mention the word white, and race.
Mm-hmm.
Those two subjects are just automatic shutoff, and just people move on.
But among white progressives, there are many who understand these things, including white privilege. And yet, even among them, I don't see anything nice about agreeing with the oppressor and also the oppressed. You can't befriend those who are being killed and then give audience an opportunity to their murderers. That isn't nice. That's called a betrayer.
Mm-hmm.
That's called entrapment. That's called playing both sides against the middle. And if you examine your lukewarm, sit-in-the-middle position, you will see for yourself how it is truly useless to people of color and downright evil.
Yes, very much.
And if you're one of those good white progressives who think that their allyship means that you occasionally talk about or post about something that usually makes white folks around you cringe, you've totally missed the point.
That's right. You've got to do it every day, every moment you can.
Yeah, and we see you, and we know what you are really doing. It isn't being an ally. It isn't being a good white progressive. It's a carefully choreographed dance meant to keep you safely in the comfort of your white privilege while allowing you to pretend to be a good white progressive to the faces of black and brown folks with your platitudes and your empty gestures that do nothing for us. And meanwhile, you make sure that within your circle of friends and family and neighbors, the social circles segregated from people of color and built upon the white supremacy that keeps you so comfortable, you make sure that no one there is uncomfortable or feels disrespected or gets shaken by your words or your actions in any measurable way.
Yeah, and our inactions mostly.
Right, right, exactly. But those of us who you tell that you are on our side and that you want to help, we see you. We know what you're really doing. We're not dumb. And we're testing you.
Yeah.
Just like the Black Lives Matter leaders tested Bernie and continue to test other leaders to see if they will back up their words with real actions, so too will we be testing you.
Exactly.
We want to see. We follow what you say and what you do. And you know what it, we know what it looks like. You know what it, you know what I want to tell people, you know what it looks like when you're really acting as an effective ally. Because I'll tell you, when you are making everyone around you uncomfortable, when you are being constantly confronted by those that you support that are in oppression and that are people of color, you will no longer say, well, I have to agree to disagree. You will be saying, I can no longer be surrounding myself with people who support hate and oppression of people of color.
Mm-hmm.
If you are one of those white progressives who are trying to support the cause of people of color and all your friends and family are hammering at you because of your thoughts and you're telling them the truth regardless of their discomfort, then you're doing it right.
Wow.
If you're simply kowtowing to everyone that comes to make a devil's advocate argument on your page, then you're trying to have your cake and eat it too. And you are doing it at the expense of people of color whom you claim to be supporting, while at the same time, actually, you're making sure your support stays squarely in the camp of your own white privilege.
Wow, that's some self-examination to realize what we're doing as people of color, white people, and people of color around us. We need to really listen and take their lead. And it's very, very uncomfortable to stick with what I know, what is unjust, and make sure the people around me aren't enacting those injustices. And if they are, I should not be around them. They should not be my friends.
Exactly. I mean, we have to start acting in our own self-interest, not just as people of color's self-interest, but as humanity's self-interest.
Mm-hmm.
It does not serve any purpose of life or humanity or survival for human beings for people to be killing and in jailing and starving and torturing a certain segment of the population at the expense of a few. It serves nobody.
Yes.
And you know what? For those of the listeners who've just tuned in to listen to this podcast on the White Progressive Liberal, who I am taking to task today on this podcast with my titled podcast, Killing Them with Kindness, I wanted to ask the public what they thought. So I put out my my post about this earlier in the day, and I got a comment that I'm going to read to you. In the meantime, why don't you tell folks where they can comment and where they can find our podcasts online?
Well, you can go to kpppfm.com, and you can look under the podcast link, and you can listen to this podcast. And you can actually comment there, or you can give us a call at 701-566-0917. Leave us a message. Tell us who you are, where you live, and we may play your comments on the air. You can tweet us at media_PPP, and you can email Cindy at kpppfm.com or Duke at kpppfm.com. And the post you're talking about is on Facebook, but we've also put it on our People's Press Project site, and we're going to put a link to that underneath the podcast so you can find that too and read the whole thing.
Exactly. So here is a comment that I got back about this post, and it says, empty gestures and generalized sentiments don't actually do anything productive. True. And to that to the extent that they allow people to remain inactive, thus enabling bigots, closeted or not, to maintain positions of power is at least arguable. It's at least arguable that those empty gestures and sentiments may well have a negative net effect. Sure. Fine. Understood. But here's something I think the Black Lives Matter movement is missing. An or some articulated milestones against which progress or lack thereof can be squared or measured. For instance, let's desegregate the buses in Selma proved to be an effective start to what became a much larger movement, partly because anybody could look and see whether it worked or not. Let's pass the Voting Rights Act, or let's end school segregation, offered similar advantages. One could be for those proposals or against them, and one could look and see if they'd been achieved yet, and not insignificantly ask a politician for a clear position and then vote accordingly. Same thing with, say, let's end the war in Vietnam. When I listened to what Black Lives Matter activists are saying, it's hard for me today to use their stated positions to complete this sentence. If Black lives truly mattered as much as they should, then blank. Maybe one answer could be, then every police officer would be wearing a reliable, functioning body-mounted camera, and instances of brutality would be prosecuted as federal felonies. Maybe another answer could be, then discriminatory statute X, Y, and Z would be off the books. I don't claim to know for sure or to speak for them, but in general, the Black Lives Matter idea is to make meaningful progress and change happen, and I hope that it is. It would be easier to create and attract active supporters, and it would be easier for those now making empty gestures and offering generalized sentiments to get involved. That is, it'd be easier to wise up and or activate those perhaps claiming to be neutral on Noam Chomsky's moving train if somebody could sit down at an actual lunch counter and say, it should be perfectly legal for me to be here, or enroll at a school and bring the National Guard along on that day to clear Orville Fabus out of the doorway. So, hey, Black Lives Matter. You want some true freedom riders? There's more to it than gassing up a bus, opening the door, and carping because it's not full yet. Somebody has to tell the driver and the passengers where they're going and who they're protesting when they get there, don't they?
This person is operating off of a lot of things in the past. Right now, this is a different time. And this is a culmination of hundreds of years of violence. Things have not been working. Things have been moving at a pace of stepping in molasses and trying to move. So I think that these times, there has to be totally different tactics. And to measure these things based on all these things in the past, I think the person's trying to basically step on something where they can feel solid and want to offer something, but they're really closing their mind off to really doing anything.
He's kind of pulling the whole, well, back then it was so much worse, and now they just have nothing to complain about. So they're just complaining about nothing.
No, I don't think he's doing that. I think he's saying they're not articulating a message that I can go and, you know, check a box or do this thing. And then there's the problem that I can measure a metric. Oh, you know, like these people got voting rights. But I mean, you know, I have a couple of statements about this mentality. One, white people are not helpless. I mean,
that's right.
Somebody that can write as well as this can also research the hell out of what the Black Lives Matter movement has done and know that you probably haven't been listening to enough of their statements or reading enough of what they've been doing, because they have very clearly defined goals.
Mm-hmm.
And they have been articulating them all over the place.
Yeah.
Not only that, they have been making significant gains In California, there is now independent juries for prosecuting police killers of black people. And we have, you know, for the first time that I can remember in my life, we have indictments of police for killing unarmed black people that are, you know, national news.
Mm-hmm.
Some significant changes have happened politically where both Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders, the liberals,
yes,
that are running, have been called out by the Black Lives Matter movement and have been forced to articulate positions on behalf of what they will do for these lives that are being lost. So to say that they don't have any articulated, like, it's kind of like the old trope that oh, well, you know, the Occupy Wall Street people don't know what they're doing, so mm-hmm. I can't support them. I don't think that they have an articulated message I can get behind. White people are not helpless. Mm-hmm. White people can think for themselves.
Yeah.
White people know, because you know what? You and your daddy's got the receipts.
That's right.
Y'all know where this torture and the enslavement and all of the stuff that happened to us came from. You know where it came from.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So don't pretend you don't know. You know exactly what kinds of things you can do to help people of color. And you don't have to have it spoon fed to you by black people.
Yeah.
I mean, that's another form of exploitation, not only to demand that black people tell us how they're going to liberate themselves, but also to tell them they're not doing a good job. And then to, on top of that, demand that they tell us what we're supposed to be doing as white people to help them.
Exactly.
Come on now. They're not the slaves anymore. We can't do that to black folks. It's unfair. And I think that it speaks to our own learned helplessness. We're not helpless. If we want to truly call ourselves progressives that care about black lives, we need to involve our native lives or Mexican lives. Go put yourself in the middle. Go find out what you can do for those folks. Go listen to them. There are people that are very involved in movements to help people of color, they think, that don't have nothing to do very much with people of color. Right?
Right.
It happens all the time in white progressive movements. You led a white progressive organization that mostly focused a lot on white issues.
Exactly. People Escaping Poverty Project. And mm-hmm. it was mostly white people Escaping Poverty Project. We get a person of color every once in a while, but they would leave pretty quickly because we weren't watching their back.
And it wasn't focused on centering black and brown people's issues. If you want to care, if you want to appear humane enough to care about the issues that I've mentioned on the show today as a progressive white liberal, then you have to actually do more than just pay lip service
mm-hmm.
or like something on Facebook or post something or bring it up in an uncomfortable conversation and then let all of your friends pile drive that conversation by saying, oh, also respect my view that police should be able to kill black people.
Yeah.
Because then, you know what? Then you are not an ally, and you need to think about your own conscience. I'm going to leave you in today's show about killing them with kindness, white progressives, white liberal progressives, and what they need to do to catch up to actually fulfilling their promise as allies with this John Lennon song, How Do You Sleep? This is KPPP LPFM. Thank you for listening.